Now, the incoming president of the doctors group, the Irish Medical Organisation, told her colleagues yesterday that the government and the HSE appears to hate doctors. Dr. Anne Dee was speaking at the IMO conference in Killarney, during which consultants voiced their anger at the Minister for Health, who said that more consultants needed to work weekends to ease hospital overcrowding. The minister was not in attendance at the conference, but the boss of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, was there. And we are joined now from our Limerick studio by Dr. Anne Dee. Dr. Dee, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Justin.
You said yesterday that doctors were being blamed for the failings of the health service and that you cannot understand why the government absolutely appears to hate doctors and why the HSE appears to hate doctors. Do you really believe that the government and the HSE hates doctors?
Can I say a few things? So I spoke at length at the conference around the health effects of poverty and inequality. I spoke for hours at the conference, and then I spoke for 1 minute to the consultants and I briefly mentioned this, which I don't deny. I said it, and I'm not saying I don't believe it. I wasn't referring to the CEO of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, who did come and was very open and spoke very honestly about many issues. However, there does appear to be an attitude and an atmosphere of hostility from both organisations towards doctors. And a typical example would be the recent attempt to suggest that if only consultants were on the floor at the weekends, then, you know, we wouldn't have the trolley problem.
They didn't, though, suggest that it's only about consultants. I think Bernard Gloucester even said yesterday that it's not about consultants alone. It's about the totality of the healthcare system. There's diagnostic teams, and he talked about psychiatrists needing to be rostered on at the weekends and so on. So, I mean, do you believe that doctors are being singled out here?
I think they certainly were when this particular message came out from the Department of Health recently. But just to go on to that subject of rostering at weekends, and you know yourself, Justin, that you're on a programme, you need a team. So when you go to hospital, you're not treated by a single consultant, you're treated by his team, which he leads. And what we're looking at, if this isn't managed and managed very carefully, is what you're doing is you're putting consultants on at weekends without their teams. And then you're having teams working during the week without their consultant. So if you really want to have a 7-day service, which we're not against at all in the IMO, you need to have 7 days equivalent of staff. So you need to have the equivalent of 2 more days of full service.
But the numbers, though, are fairly clear. The HSE chief executive said yesterday that between St. Bridget's and St. Patrick's Day weekends, trolley numbers reduced by 831 and discharges increased by 277, all because more doctors were rostered on duty. So, I mean, do you accept that the results are there?
No.
That when you roster more consultants on, the overcrowding reduces?
That absolutely is a complete spin. In February, we were still in the middle of a flu season, and it was a very busy weekend. On St. Patrick's weekend, and you can talk to any consultant around the country who was working that weekend, it was an extremely quiet weekend. And so there just wasn't a lot of activity. If you don't hear anybody talking about what happened at Easter, where the doctors were also on the floor, but because it was a busy weekend, the result was not any great significant reduction.
Are you saying then that it doesn't make a difference if you employ more consultants to work at the weekends, that is not going to make a difference to discharges or to overcrowding at emergency departments?
I don't believe on its own it would do, no. And you have to discharge people out into the community where they need public health nurses, where they need GPs, where they need teams out there that will take care of them if they have ongoing problems. So it's not as simple as just having a consultant on the floor in the hospital to reduce, you know, is going to make everything work better. Certainly you do need senior decision makers on the floor, and certainly, you know, if you have a 7-day service, it would be brilliant. But you can't just kind of spread the margarine a little bit more thinly on the bread to make it go further.
Is there resistance then in the IMO to these efforts by the Minister for Health and the HSE to get more doctors to work weekends?
I don't think there's resistance to the concept. But as I say, if it's not done carefully and properly, it'll end up taking from the service. You currently have a five-day service with additional on-call. What you're looking at is having a five-day service spread over 7 days, and you're taking out that little extra bit of the on-call part. So where you have doctors currently doing 5 days plus, you'll have them doing 5 days, you know, not doing the on-call part, and somebody else working their weekend. It's just, it's very, very complex, and to do it properly will require you know, a huge amount of reorganisation of all parts of the health service.
All right. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you about another issue that you raised yesterday. And you spoke about communities on the margins suffering from far poorer health outcomes than those with better access to education or housing or work opportunities. What informs those comments? What are you seeing on the ground in your own work as a public health doctor?
Well, in my own work in the Midwest, we know that if you live in an area of disadvantage, you're more than twice as likely to use the emergency services. And for good reason, you're more likely to actually stay and be seen no matter how long it takes, and you're more likely to be admitted. So people have poorer health in poorer areas. Now, we don't know a lot about what the actual state is in Ireland because we don't collect enough data to identify different groups, where they live, who they are, what ethnic group they belong to. But we know internationally, this is the case all across the globe, that if people are living in poverty and in marginalisation and at disadvantage, if they're unemployed, they don't have proper housing, if they don't have access to safe community spaces, all these things affect your health way more than the actual access to a health service. So about 20% of your health is as a result of having access to health service. About 80% of your health is as a result of the conditions in which you live. So if we want to improve health, you know, we need to work on the whole social determinants approach. Okay. And we need to work across the whole of society.
Dr. Anne Dee, President of the Irish Medical Organisation, thank you very much for coming into our Limerick studio to speak with us today. We'll be talking about children at risk after this break.